Well, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we study your word today, as we ask you to give us revelation regarding what your will is, how to know your will, how to find it, follow it, fulfill it, we ask that your spirit would lead us and guide us. God, we are hungry for you, and you said if we ask for you for wisdom, that you would give it to us. And so today, we're asking for you to do what only you can do. Teach us the things that we need to know about following you and fulfilling our purpose on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. So we begin a new summer series, Discover the Will of God or God's Will. And I just encourage you in a couple of areas. First, to listen to every message we're going to talk about because they will build on each other. This is not a small topic. This is not just a one quick answer. This is a life-changing area that we need to constantly be about, and I'll tell you about that today, why that is. But each of us are called for a purpose, so I want you to participate in this. In your bulletin, there's a little card. It's a Q&A card. If you have any questions as we're talking about this, or maybe you've always had a question about some things about God's will, and a lot of people do. You know, why does God allow suffering, or is it his will for this, that, and the other thing? Those are really acceptable questions, and we can talk about that during this series. So write them down, hand these to us, or put them in the Dropbox out there in the foyer, and we'd love to answer the questions that you're asking and talk about the things that are important to you that will help your life most importantly. And so take notes also during this series. If you don't, for some reason, have the ability to be here on a Sunday, you can always subscribe to our podcast. If you don't know what a podcast is, it means it's you can go on our website and listen to it or subscribe to something that it downloads to your phone, and Pastor Lori and I will be there as long as we upload it to that area, and you'll be able to hear the messages. So there's really no reason, you know, in this day and age, there's no reason why you can't get the Word of God into your heart. The only reason is because something's more important to you. Everybody said, ouch. All right. So seriously, these messages are going to be a combined revelation of understanding the will and purposes of God. So what we're going to do on Wednesday nights, in addition to Sundays, is gather together for a Bible study. And I'm going to use a supplementary resource from Andrew Womack. He has a book, brand new book out called Find, Follow, and Fulfill the Will of God, How to Do That. And he's got some study guides, and I've purchased those. The book will be available if you would like it. It's I think it's like $15. I can order it for you, or you can probably get it on Amazon for $12 or whatever. I ordered the Kindle book, which was like $9. So whatever it takes, I think that we just need to immerse ourselves in a topic that's going to help us become what God's called us to be. We all have a purpose. We're called for a purpose, and that's how I'm going to start this today. You are called for a purpose. You're important to God. You're important to other people. You're not here by accident. You're not a mistake. I don't care what brought you onto this planet or onto this earth. God knew you were coming. He has a destiny and purpose for you. When we talk about the will of God, and this isn't something I want to get into a lot today, but when we talk about the will of God, the reason it's hard for us to understand is because we live in time and space, but God does not. Okay? So this is part of what makes God God and us need God. He lives outside of time and space. So if here's the beginning of your life and here's the end of your life, God's here and he sees everything. He already knows what you're going to do. He already knows when you're going to die. He already knows how you're going to die. He knows the decisions you're going to make. And he can, along this timeline and in the space that he lives in, see all of it at one time, and he can be a part of guiding you, leading you, making intervening when you are going to jump off a cliff. He can, or when somebody comes into your life to do bad things, he can protect you when a train comes and tries to hit you and knock you off the planet. He can do all that because he can see it. Now, the thing that he does, though, is even though that is sovereign and he's got a perfect will for you or a purpose for you, sometimes we try to take an exit. We try to exit off. There's exit ramps, and that's probably going to be one of my message. Exit ramps off your destiny, off the road to your destiny is the exit ramps. And when you take an exit ramp, God's got to do road construction, or he's got to call an ambulance because you've got a wreck over here, because you're driving on off the road, and so he's got to intervene. Okay, he's got to do a miracle, and there's prayer that's involved with God intervening many times. So again, this is multifaceted. We're going to touch on all of these different areas, but the point that I want you to get today is that God has a purpose for you, and I want to help you focus on becoming what God's called you to be and carrying out his purpose for you. Are you willing to do that? Only Delvin? Okay. So how many of you wouldn't say amen if I asked you to? Oh, nobody. Well, okay. So everybody said? Amen. All right. Well, there's good. That's good. See, this study, I believe, and part of it's because I'm passionate about this area of purpose and destiny and calling. It's the thing that I believe is one of the major passions that God has given me is to help people fulfill what they're called to do on this earth, because I don't think that there's any other reason to be on the earth except to do what God's asked you to do. Otherwise, as soon as you get saved, boop, he can take you home. Okay? If there's no other reason for you to be here, he can just take you, but the reason that you're still here is because he's not finished with you. And I believe that much of what we struggle with are things that have to do with decisions that we make that are going to affect our future. And many times we have to stop and say, is this what God wants for me? Is this part of the purpose that he has me here on the earth? Okay, we're going to talk about those things in this series. So you need to just how many of you would like to know more of God's will? Okay, I think, you know, even the crickets in here are raising their hand. Everybody wants to know more of the will of God for their life. And why is that? It's because you want to have more guidance in decision-making. You want to have your life have meaning and direction to it, not just being aimless and insignificant. I believe it's because that you know that there's more to life that you can experience than what you're already experiencing, that you need to have a sense that if you're going through hell, which a lot of times happens on the earth, you go through some type of hell or traumatic experiences, you want to know there's actually some good's going to come out of it, hey? There's some purpose behind this. Or if you're doing something and you get attacked by the devil, that you understand you're doing something good for God, and that's why you're being resisted. And that those are definitely things that are a part of fulfilling the will of God is this resistance from the world, from your flesh, and from the devil. And you need to know how to stand against that. But if you really don't know whether you're doing the will of God, it just might seem like, you know, life is just miserable, or you're just going to blame God for all the bad things that happen, and then you're just going to throw in the towel, and you're just going to quit, and you're just going to do what everybody else does and just get all you can all you get, and sit on the can, and, you know, and then someday, you know, the worms will eat you, and then it'll all be over. And just some hopeless, meaningless garbage that, you know, that the world comes up with just to say, you know, that way if God's not involved with us, we don't have to be accountable to him. But you know what? He put us here for a purpose, and we're accountable to him for carrying that out. And that's why I want to help you. So I'll never stand before a guy one day and say, and he'll be saying to me, you know, these people in your congregation didn't know that they had a purpose and a calling. I'm going to say, I told every single one of them that they're responsible. I'm not responsible for it. You're responsible for it. And as a loving pastor, I'm going to say, get with it. Get on with the will of God. And so this series of messages is going to help you do that. All right? It's going to help you do that. So whatever it is, for those of us who believe in a personal God, a divine destiny, a sense of calling and purpose, we want to know more of what is God's will for my life. Now, let me tell you some stories about me here this morning. I don't talk a lot about my story, but when I was a little boy, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, I would be taken to a denominational church, and, you know, the routine. You know, you go through the liturgy, and amen, and you're out. And so, I would sit there, and they did teach the Bible, and they did believe in the scriptures and all. So it was a place where Jesus was lifted up, and they taught Jesus and the grace of God and forgiveness and all that. So it was a good place in that sense, in terms of truth. And I would sit there, and every once in a while, I would say, you know, God, since I'm in church, I would pray. And so, and not everybody does that in church, but I would pray, and I would say, God, you know, what is my purpose in life? You know, what is my purpose in life? And so I was about 9 or 10 years old, and I would find, you know, because I was taught God, and I believed in God, and I believed in Jesus, and I know I was saved, and I said, God, what is my purpose in life? And then one Sunday morning, I was in church, and I was praying that prayer again, and I felt like God had said, I'm going to call you to be a pastor. I'm going to call you to minister as a pastor. And, you know, when you're that age, you go, okay, great. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean I have to put on one of those, like, white robes and that thing that they got around them and do this kind of stuff? I mean, what does that mean? You know, that's because that's all I really knew. I had no idea, you know, even in the Bible, that what a pastor meant. I didn't, you know, so anyway, I sensed that when I was about 10 or 12 years old, I felt like God had spoken to me that you were going to be a pastor. Now, 5 years later, when I was 17 years old, and most of you know this part of my testimony, I was going through the normal rebellious freak drug rock and roll whole thing, you know, and I'm like, and all my friends were, you know, didn't know how to, you know, say anything other than wow, you know. So that's the whole scene I was in high school. And then one day God got a hold of my life, and I radically committed my life to Him. You know, giving the drugs up and say, God, you can have my life. You got to do with something. You do whatever you want to. And I radically changed, and I began to be as excited and about passionate for God and the things of God as I was for whatever else I was doing before. And that changed my life. And then I began to ask God again right after that, okay, now, God, what do you want me to do with my life? I didn't get saved just to go, you know, back to doing everything. Everything's different. I mean, everything was different. In fact, I say it this way. When I got saved, things were so different. I felt like things went from black and white into color. I mean, I felt like I was seeing in black and white before I was saved, and maybe it was just because I wasn't seeing much at all. But then when I got saved, all of a sudden, my eyes could see things, and I took in things, and my perception was sharp, and my spirit was alive, and I was hearing God. He actually told me the next morning after I got saved. I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? And He said, take all of your drugs and throw them in the river. And I went, wow, God spoke to me. He told me to do something, you know. And it was like, great. I mean, I'm on a mission, you know. I'm doing this, and I'm cleaning house. And I don't want anything in my past to follow me into my life with God, into my destiny. I wasn't carrying nothing, baby, anything that even looked like it. My records, they went out in the trash. The only thing I regret is I didn't burn them instead of throw them in the trash. Because I saw the garbage men going through them. So, I mean, there was nothing, you know, and now I have nothing other than Jesus. And I went, I said, now, okay, I'm a drummer, I like rock and roll music, you know, so I was fond of that. So now I have nothing. And I said, and this is 1976, and there is no Christian rock and roll. There is no Christian rock music. There is no contemporary Christian music. There are hymns. Jesus, what am I going to do? I don't have any music left. I'm a musician. So I'm in school, and I'm walking down the hallway, you know, and this girl comes up to me, and I'd never met her before. And she comes up to me, she says, Wilkie, I heard that you became a Christian. And I went, yeah. Yeah. And she goes, God told me to give you something. And she has this record, and it's a Christian rock record. And I went, what is this? She goes, it's Christian rock music. And I went, oh, cool. It was like, I remember the guy's name. So anyway, so God began to help me transition, and then he changed my musical tastes. Seriously. I mean, if it didn't have a drum solo or a guitar solo in it, I would never listen to it. It would be bogus. And so I was like, all of a sudden I began to like worship music, quiet acoustic worship music, John Michael Talbot, these little worship songs, and I started enjoying, instead of loud banging, aggressive, I started being gentle and just the presence of God, and I'm like, wow, God's changing my heart, okay? So whatever you think about, taking into your Christian life whatever you had in the past, it doesn't, some of it's okay, but some of it, God just got to purge, because without God changing my musical styles, who knows? Maybe I ought to start listening to all that garbage again or whatever. Now, that was a little sideline here, but I wanted to tell you that because when I prayed, God, when I was saved and I prayed one night, God, what do you want to do with my life? What is your plan for my life? All right, I was living at home still. I was preparing. I was the senior year of high school. I was saved. I was living at home. I was deciding what I'm going to do with my life. That's what you have to decide that when you graduate from high school. What are you going to do with your life? And I was praying, God, what is your plan for my life? That next Sunday morning, I sat in church, and I was all by myself this time. I sat in church up in the balcony in the back, and I opened the bulletin, and this flyer falls into my lap, just, flies out, because we have flyers, and stuff falls out of the bulletin. It lands in my lap, and it says, are you man enough for the pastoral ministry? Enroll in Concordia College Pastoral Studies. And I'm like, I didn't hear anything the rest of the service. I mean, I just prayed. God, show me what you want to do with my life. This flyer falls in my lap. Now, I'm probably the only teenager in church. This is a Lutheran church. There's not a lot of teenagers sitting in there. I'm probably the only teenager in church. So I don't know whoever this flyer was for, but it was for me. God put it there for me, and he had it fall in my lap. And when I saw it, I went, thank you. Thank you, God. I went home, told my parents, the rest is history. And God had me enroll in Concordia College, take the studies I wanted to take, and it was wonderful. I got to work for my dad and pay for my college and all that kind of stuff. So God had it set up. I was looking for other schools at the time, but I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And then when I prayed and asked, he answered me. Now, when you pray and ask God, show me your will, and he tells you, what are you supposed to do? This isn't even a question, isn't it? This isn't even a question. When you pray and ask God, what am I supposed to do? And he tells you, you don't go, I wonder. Maybe I should pray about this more. Maybe I should ask a bunch of people. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't get counsel sometimes if you're making life-changing decisions and you really wonder. But if you prayed and God did tell you something, don't let any grass grow under your feet here, baby. Just get with it. Move forward. I came home that Sunday after church. In fact, I wanted to leave early because I got what I came for. God spoke to me. I went home and I said, God, Mom and Dad, guess what? I prayed last night that, because we've been praying about it, and I prayed last night, God, show me, and this flyer fell in my lap. I said, this is what I'm supposed to do. Done deal. Good to go. Now, if I wouldn't have acted on that word, and I wouldn't have gone to Concordia College at the time, then I wouldn't have been invited to join this music group when I graduated called Joy Incorporated, which traveled around, and I would have never met this lady named Lori Egloff. I would have never met Lori, and we wouldn't be here today. Laurel wouldn't be up here playing. Life would be different, all as we know it. I'm not sure if I'd be here or not, but you know what I'm saying. Me following God's purpose there directed the course of everything else God had me do in ministry. Because God knows, without Lori, who knows whether I would still be in ministry? And who knows what she would be doing? She'd probably be some little Lutheran school teacher without me. because I was the one who corrupted her from being a little Lutheran girl into being a charismatic prophetess and all that. Now, God could have used anybody else. God could have brought anybody else along to help me. I'm not saying that he couldn't do that. I mean, his plan for my life is his plan for my life. He didn't change it because I met Lori, but because I followed his will. He used that, and he knew that was his will for me to marry her, and I'm going to show you why. Because when I did join this group, this music group, I was obviously the drummer. Lori is one of the singers. We were all out of college. She went to a different college. We joined this group. I was invited to join and travel around. It was a volunteer group, basically, but you did that after your school. And so we were traveling around, and then about 4 months into that group, we were on Christmas break, and I was at home, like, you know, we're just taking a break, and I was at home, and one night I was praying, God, I knew I was called into ministry, and I said, God, who do you want me to marry? I said, you know, I just need you to be the one, because I know if I pick somebody, it's probably going to be the wrong person. You know, I'm not even going to joke about it. It's just, it wouldn't be good. I just need help. I need help. And guys, if you're not married, you need help, because you're going to probably pick the wrong person unless you get help. So God, I said, help. Who do you want me? And as soon as I prayed that prayer, I had this picture of Lori come to my mind. And I had this, all of a sudden, this love, this passion, this, you know, romantic kind of love in my heart for Lori. And I went, oh, her? And he goes, her. You need her. She's the one you need. And she needs you. And I've called you together for ministry. I said, good, done deal. I said, only problem is you're gonna have to make this happen. You're going to have to make this happen. So a couple days later, we were at a Christmas party for the group. The whole group's together for a Christmas party, exchanging cards and gifts. Lori hands me a card. And she writes in her card. And she writes in her card, I pray that you have the best Christmas ever, and I want you to know that you're the kind of person I could fall in love with. What? That's a Christmas card. I want you to know you're the kind of person I could fall in love with. This is like a fairy tale, isn't it? This is how it happened. People ask me, how did you and Pastor Lori get together? This is how it happened. I prayed, God showed me. God spoke to her, evidently, gave her the liberty to be able to see. You see, because in this group, there is this no dating policy. It's a college group, no dating, or it'll be a fiasco, you know. Nobody gets to date. So we had another 4 or 5 months in the group, and we weren't allowed to have a romantic relationship, a dating relationship for Bolton. So can't do it. So she tells me, you're the kind of person I could fall in love with. Well, I am in love with her now. And I told her. And when we got out of the group, I asked her to marry me, and we went home to her mother and dad. And I said, Pastor Egloff, I said, I would like permission to marry your daughter, and that whole process. And they were devastated. They were devastated. I'm long-haired, rock and roll drummer, charismatic. They had never met me. I mean, they had seen me on the platform. They don't know me. And Lori, who had been traveling with me for a whole year, we've been traveling together for a whole year, knew me probably better than anybody who would have gone out on a date because we worked together. She saw me at 6:30 in the morning getting on the bus, traveling for 3 hours, setting up the equipment, doing stuff in schools, traveling for another 5 hours, setting up, doing concerts. For 14 hours a day, she watched my personality. She saw me study the Bible. She saw me witness for God. She saw how I dealt with other people and how I worked and my ethics and my values. And so by the end of she knew everything about me, even though we had never had one date. Dating is overrated because you're at your best when you're doing your date. And you don't marry a person who's at their best all the time. You marry a person, and you get to see their worst most of the time. So if somebody wants to know, I would say, do a mission work, do some mission work with the person and find out what happens at 5:30 in the morning when they have to get out of bed and they're up late at night and they don't have enough food and they don't have enough sleep. See what their personality is really like. That was free, but that was good because that's a pub. God says, well, who should I marry? Well, that might be one way to find out. Now, was this the will of God? Was this God putting this relationship together? I believe yes. Was it the will of God for me to go to Concordia? I believe yes. Was it the will of God for us, you know? I believe, yes. In fact, once I proposed to her and she accepted, we actually got the blessing of both her parents and my parents. And I believe that was important to us. We wanted to bring the families together. And so I had submitted myself to the will and purpose of God. I'd asked him to speak, to lead, coordinate for me a ministry partner, and he answered with a confirmation and direction for that specific prayer request. Just like I knew it was God's will for me to enter into pastoral ministry, just like I knew it was God's will for me to go to Concordia College, just like I knew it was God's will for me to go to this in this music group, I knew Lori was God's choice to be my wife and a ministry partner together. We felt that even though we loved each other and would be great friends together, that there was something far greater than our own personal happiness involved in our relationship, and that was the purpose of God for our life. The purpose of God. I believe that no matter what relationships you enter into, regardless of your personal happiness, there is a higher purpose for those relationships, especially in the body of Christ. And those are for the plans and purposes and the will of God to come to pass. This is why God places people in local churches, and when they get offended and pick up their marbles and go home, they're not even close to fulfilling the will of God for their life. And in America, you have a consumer mentality in churches where people think they can choose the church they go to. That's not even in the Bible. God chooses the place where he plants you and connects you with certain people. Now, how does it work out when you decide to pick up your marbles and go home? I don't know. That's God's sovereign will. He's got to somehow either reconnect you or do something else or this, that, and the other thing. You know, but I'm just telling you that there are a lot of things that God has for our lives that relate to people that when we break a relationship because we get offended, it stops the plans and purposes of God from coming to pass, not only in our life, but in the lives of the people that we're called to help serve and minister to. This is why this is important, that you need desperately, if you're going to fulfill the will of God, to deal with relational conflict in a biblical and a healthy way. In a biblical and a healthy way. Now, there are times when Pastor Lori and I, you know, have had tremendous disagreements. Well, you can't be two different people and not see things differently and have disagreements. I agree about this. She agrees about this. This is a disagreement. All right, we have two different agreements. So what happens is we have to say, okay, let's find out what God's version of this is. See, ultimately, all relational conflict can be solved if the two people involved will say, it's not about my way or what I want or my say or my way, but what God says and what he wants in this situation. What does God's will say? And even though there may be tremendous differences, those differences then, if you find out what God's will is, can become strengths. You know, you see Pastor Lori and I, and, you know, we're pretty happy and happy-going, and we love each other and all this kind of stuff, but we're not in competition who gets to preach. We're obviously not in competition who gets to sing. Thank God for that. We're not in competition who gets their way, you know, because we want God's way, okay? I mean, The biggest disagreements we have, you know, are over things that God probably goes, you know, this doesn't matter to me. You guys work it out. What you guys are going to eat, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, you guys work it out. But a person who has got unconditional love and who's teachable, those things become minor areas anyway. So when it comes to major life choices, especially like finances, family decisions, You've got to say, God has a plan, a purpose for our life. We need to align these decisions with His. And it might be that Lori, me, Laurel, we all don't agree with what God's decision is, but we submit to it anyway. Because we say, you know what? We would like to do this, but God says to our family, no, this is what your family should do. And so we submit to that. Now, if you're willing to do that, your relational conflicts are going to be able to be resolved if there's two people who are open to following the will and the purpose of God. Because here's the thing, when you don't and you do your own thing, you're holding back from the people God's put you in contact with. You're holding back from them the things that they need from you. We all need each other. You've got spiritual gifts. I have spiritual gifts. We need each other. My wife's good at certain things. I'm good at certain things. Laurel's good at certain things. Together we make a fantastic team, but God put that together. And if I would withhold my part, things would fall apart. If Lori would withhold her part or Laurel, things wouldn't be the way it's supposed to be. Things would fall apart the way they were supposed to be from God's point of view. So you have something that everyone else needs, a gift, a calling, a purpose. And that purpose isn't for you. That gift isn't for you. It's for the needs of others around you so that you can make the world a better place. And this is really what the will of God is about. And I'll talk to you more about that in a minute. Now, shortly after Lori and I got married, we began serving in a local church together. And then God supernaturally calls us, and many of you know this story, so I won't go into details, supernaturally calls us to leave Milwaukee and go to Bible school in Cleveland, Tennessee. He gives me a vision while I'm working of going into ministry, and he gives Lori a vision while she's at a conference, and together, it was at the same day, at the same time, we both had these visions, and we spoke that night. She was in Fort Worth, Texas. I was in Milwaukee. We spoke that night. We shared our visions, and it was a done deal. We said, okay, we're leaving. I mean, leaving your family, leaving your state, going to another state, going to Bible school, quitting your jobs, that's a pretty big decision, all right? But it all happened in the course of about less than 24 hours. God spoke to both of us. And because we had made a commitment from the beginning to follow the will and plan and purpose of God, it was exciting, but it wasn't like, you know, we need to pray about it for 3 years. This was like, okay, let's just tell people. And you know, we still were very, very about family, so we submitted to both of our parents to ask for their blessing. So, you know, and we went through the proper channels of, you know, submitting it to authority and all that, but there was no question that God had spoken to us about it and that we were to go, like Abraham, leave your family and your land and go to a place you know not of. And that certainly was the case with Cleveland, Tennessee. It was certainly a land that I don't know anything about. Wow. Northern city boy, southern small town, you know, you get the cultural change, all right? It's pretty drastic for me. And so we did it. And when right before we moved, there was this little prophetess in our church that we served in. And this lady came up to us, and she wrote down this little note, and she says, I just want you to know that when you go down to Norval Hayes Bible School, that Norval's going to pick you guys out to travel with him. He's going to pick you out a special travel with him. And Pastor Lori, God's going to give you this perfect, you know. So she just laid out all this word of wisdom and this prophecy for us. And so we went down there, and 3 months later, we were sitting in the Bible school. Norval came, he hears Lori sing, and in the middle of the service, he points to her and says, Lori, little honey, you and your husband, I want you to travel with me. We're like, and everybody's like, oh, Norval asked him. And we're like, well, we knew this was going to happen. Why? Because God gave us a word. He told us this was going to happen. And so we didn't have to pray about it because we knew it was the will and plan of God for us to do that. It's probably the very reason we went down there. And so then what God did is he used that connection and the people then we began to work with to train us in ministry much, much more in depth and much more hands-on than any Bible school ever could. Bible school teaches you about the Bible Not necessarily about ministry and pastoring. It tells you about the Bible and church structure and that kind of stuff. And that's okay. But you got to do, you got to be, you got to have a mentor, you got to have a father, you got a father in the Lord. You can't learn any of this on your own. You got to have somebody that you come alongside like Elisha did with Elijah, like the disciples did with Jesus, like Timothy did with Paul. You'll never fulfill the plan and purpose of God without a mentor, without a spiritual father, a spiritual leader. Never. I mean, you may try, you may get someplace, but all along the way, we realized that we had a spiritual authority in our life, and that at one point in our traveling ministry, we said, God, we need even a greater degree of covering and authority in our life. And God began to show us several men that he wanted us to submit to as overseers and bishops and leaders in our life who would help. And then the reason that was so important to us was because then about 5 years after we had moved down and we'd been traveling, we had been ministering out in this little church out in Germantown, Faith Christian Fellowship of Germantown. We were out there ministering, and that night we went home, and I was getting ready to go to sleep and on my bed, and God speaks to me, and he says, this pastor is going to resign, and I'm going to call you to be the pastor of this church. And it was so real, so almost audible, that I sat up out of bed, and Pastor Lori and I were staying at my mom and dad's house because we had a house in Tennessee, so we were just staying and visit. I sat up out of bed, and I looked at Lori, and I went, and I'm thinking, did you hear that? And she's sleeping. She didn't hear anything. And so God had spoken to me, so I began to share that with some discreet people who could hold me accountable at some point if that ever happened. Maybe I just had pizza that night or buttermilk or onions or whatever I was eating, and maybe I was just hearing things. But I didn't have a tendency to hear things like this, because there was no way in my life I would have ever come up with this in my own thought. So we went back down to Tennessee. We began to travel, and then 6 months later, talking to my mom, she says, you know, did you hear our pastor resigned? And I was almost so startled that I thought maybe she knew what God had said to me. And I said, well, why are you telling me? She said, well, we're having a conversation. You're my son. I just thought I'd let you know what's going on in my life. That our pastor resigned. It's a big deal. I went, oh, I'm sorry, Mom. I didn't mean it that way. I was just wondering. And so what are you going to do? And then I began to realize that God was going to call me up there to pastor the church. So I wanted to make sure. I confirmed it. I went down to these bishops, and I walked in, and I said, I feel like God's called me to. So I walked into this one man. His name was Bishop Kirby Clemens. I walked into his office, and before I even sit in the chair, he looks at me and goes, my son, that's how he talks, my son, before me stands a pastor. And him and his lovely wife began to share with me the prophetic call upon our life, the pastoral ministry, and so forth. And so there's a lot of confirmations there, but I'm just saying that because I want you to know that God had spoken to me to fulfill the plan and purpose that he had given me way back when I was 12 years old. So it was not like I didn't believe it. It's that I didn't understand how God wanted to bring it to pass if this was the right time. You know, when you're 33 years old, 32 years old, and God calls you to pastor a church, you just think, I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just like a young whippersnapper. I don't even have gray hair. I mean, don't you have to be like old and have a limp and all this stuff that, you know, people, a little overweight, you know, isn't there, in talk like God, isn't there something else you have to have in order to be a pastor? Not me. I mean, like, I love God with all my heart and I can teach the Bible, but all of a sudden, God says, no, I've called you, and it's your time, and I want you to go. In fact, Bishop Kirby Clemens said, go to a prophetic ministry where the word of the Lord can come forth, because God will speak to you there and confirm to you, because that's what prophecy does. It just confirms what God has already told you in your heart. So that night we were, not by chance, but by, we had planned this a long time ago, we were with Norval Hayes in a meeting where his guest speaker was a man named Benny Hinn. And so this man was there, and as soon as Benny gets up there, and Lori had sung a song, and as soon as Benny Hinn gets up there, he calls Lori out of the audience, and her husband, I'm always Lori's husband, by the way, just you know that. Never bothered me. I always introduce myself as Lori's husband when we're on the road. Never bothers me at all. You and your husband come up here quickly, quickly, and he points his finger in my chest and he says, "Brother, God's going to give you a new ministry." And he prophesied about the ministry that God is going to, he's Lebanese. God's going to give me a new ministry, and he told me about it, and then he gave Lori about the prophecy about the book she was going to write and the revelation she had on the anointing and all that. And so the next day I was on the plane flying up to this church to fill the pulpit because I didn't have a pastor. And while I was there, they said, "You know, we're praying about a couple of people who could be our new pastor." And I said to the board of directors, I said, "Well, I want you to know that God had spoken to me about this 6 months ago." In fact, one of the people on the board, I had told this the day after I had that the Lord told me I was going to be the pastor. So he was already there. He already knew this. But the rest of the board, I said, "God had told me." And I said, "So if you decide to have Pastor Lori and I to come and be your pastors, I have one requirement only, that this decision be unanimous. Everybody needs to agree. I will not come of half of the, because they had five people on the board so that they could never have a tie. Well, I'm just not like that. If you all can't hear from God, I'm not going to come and pastor half the church. I want to pastor everybody. I'm not going to have two people in dissension like, "Well, I knew this wasn't the right decision." Well, if it's not the right decision, everybody needs to be in agreement that it's not the right decision. But at this point, it took 2 minutes. Everybody said, "Aye." And they came back and said, we've agreed unanimously that you and Lori are supposed to be our pastors. I said, "It's the will of God." And we immediately moved back. In fact, I was in the pulpit from that point on. I never stopped. Somebody just packed up our stuff and brought it back to Wisconsin. We put a for sale sign at a house down there. And here we are. Been here ever since. Now, I don't share all that and the experiences that I've had because there's something special about me. I don't share all that because you have to have these kind of experiences in your life. I share that with you to show you that if you will pursue relentlessly, if you will ask God consistently, if you are willing to dedicate ultimately to the plans, purpose, and the will of God for your life, He's no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for anyone. Now, the only caveat to this, the only difference to this is if you're called into full-time ministry, I believe, scripturally, that you will have experiences with God that other people won't. And the reason is because when He calls you out of the marketplace, out of vocational ministry, out of the marketplace in your secular calling, into a spiritual full-time calling, the battle can be so strong that He has to confirm to you this is the right choice. The other thing that needs to take place in a minister's life is this. When you choose to obey the call of God to go into full-time ministry, you have got to understand that everything possible that the devil can do to get you distracted from that call will come against you. And you will begin to think, you're overlooked, you're rejected, everybody else gets to do this stuff, I don't have enough money, I'm not treated well, the violins are going to come out. And the whole orchestra will be there sometimes to get you to think this was a mistake. Now, for those of us believers who are doing ministry, there's some of that that happens. You know, there's some of that that happens. Well, you're not getting enough affirmation and you've got enough problems. You don't need all the problems that are at the church. You know, on and on and on. My mom used to call it the flip chart. It's all the reasons that the devil gives you not to serve God. You know? And if you don't like this one, here's another one. If you don't like this one, well, how about this one? How about this one? How about this one? So here's what happens when you choose to follow the will and plan and purposes of God. You'll have to choose between that and friends. That and maybe your job. That and maybe your family. That and your own personal comfort. That and maybe money. Must I go on? On and on. You know, the thing that challenges your calling is everything other than your calling. Everything in life challenges you from following the plan and purpose and calling of God. You say, well, Pastor, does that have to be that drastic? Can't I just be like this little video where it says, well, I'm just going to be me? Yeah, but you means that you have a purpose, and a purpose means that you have to follow it and dedicate yourself to it, because here's what I believe, is that when you are fulfilling the will of God, it changes the world around you. And the devil doesn't want anything changed because he's conforming it into his image. And when you are walking in the will of God, you're conforming the world to God's image because you've been transformed. And this is why the will of God isn't just told to everybody. It's not just given to anybody. It's because Jesus said, do not cast your pearls, the plan and purposes of God, before swine, the world that can just trample it under, go, oh, that's not the will of God for you. Oh, you know, that is me. They mock it, they question it, they do all this kind of stuff. Well, you're just holier than thou. You know what? God can tell you. In fact, the will of God is a mystery. And this is the reason why. Because God doesn't want anybody to know what his will is unless the person he tells it to has dedicated to seek it, ask for it, and obey it. That's how it comes to pass. There is no other will of God for you other than obeying it. I used to say this, you can take issue with it, but God doesn't reveal his will to people who are not going to do it. I believe that's the reason there are a lot of things about God's will we don't know, because we want to know it so that it's an option for us. No, there's no option. If God tells you something, it's because you're going to do it. And so if he knows you're not going to do it, if it's just going to be one of the things on your to-do list, if you get to it, fine. God says, well, then I'll just hang on to this until they actually make the commitment to do it. And so we wander around aimlessly. And what a sad thing would be to get at the end of your life and say, because I was so busy, I didn't have time to seek and pursue and fulfill the will of God, which is the only reason I'm here. Time got away from me. No, it didn't. You just chose other things other than the will of God. And everybody said, ouch, right, I understand. So there's a lot here, and we'll get back into this again next week. But I hope you're learning something today. I wanted to tell you my story because everybody has a little hindsight here. And there are times in your life when you may be able to look back and go, you know, I was making a radical commitment there, and God actually moved, spoke to me. He did something. And some of you are saying, I'd like to get back to the place where God does that in my life. You can start today. You can start today. I didn't say it was easy. You need dedication. You need commitment. You maybe need to let go of some of the things that you're hanging on to, because those things don't fit into the will of God. They just don't. They just don't fit into the will of God. You can't decide, you know, this is the last scripture I'm going to read. Not that I've read any other ones today, but this is you can't decide, you know, I'm going to start this business, and then we're going to go over here, and I got this vacation plan, and I got these friends I got to see, and you know what? You just forget the will of God. And your life's going to go, whoosh, and it's going to be over. It's going to go, whoosh, and it's going to be over. Your life's going to go, whoosh, and it's going to be over, and you're going to look back, and you're going to have all the regrets that you never did anything that God had planned for you. The book of James, and you can put this up there, Rachel. It says, James chapter 4, for those of you who are having all these plans other than God's, he says, come now, you who say tomorrow and today, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. What I want us to do today, if you would stand up with me, I have so much more I want to share with you, but I'm really trying to bring you along with this journey that the will of God is something that you have to aggressively pursue. You get to the end of your life, and it's the only life you have. You get to the end of your day, and it's the only day that you had, and you did nothing to pursue the will of God. When you stand before God, he said, this was my purpose for you. It wasn't And you get to the end of your day, and you know somebody says, "What did you do today?" And most guys go, "I went to work." Anything else? I don't remember. You see all these stories I told you? I remember every single one of them. What I did on my own time, that what I did on my vacations, if I didn't have pictures, I wouldn't remember any of it. But I remember everything that has to do with the will and purpose of God in my life, because you know why? I believe those are the only things that you even are going to remember when you get to heaven. You can remember your fishing trips, my skiing trips, my bowling games, if I did bowl or whatever, this, that, and the other thing, my lounging around watching stupid movies. I'm not going to remember any of that. I'll remember every time I made a decision to fulfill the will of God. Because those are the only things that are going to last in heaven, the things that you do for God. Heavenly Father, I just pray for every single one of us today that we would make a choice to become more passionate about your will, your plans for our life, your purpose for our life. Every single one of us has a purpose, God, and we may need to seek it. We may need to be more about pursuing it, and that today, God, is our choice. We choose today, God, to follow the things that you have for our lives. Not just your moral will, the things that we know are right and wrong, not just the things that we know we should be doing, but the things that are really going to impact the world around us, who you've created us to be so that we can help minister to others, that we can help walk out and make the choices that are going to make a difference in this world. So I pray for everyone in here right now that by the grace of God, they can become what you've called them to be, that by your mercy, that you would forgive any days that have been wasted, selfish, self-centered, anything that we have all done, God, that we've done out of our own selfishness, our own self-serving ideas, and say, Lord, forgive us for those things and help us be about what you want, because that is your will. It is what you want. And in doing so, Lord God, I pray that you would open up the hearts and the minds of each person here, that they would know your will more perfectly, that they would enter into a season of seeking your heart and your purpose and your plan for their life like never before. Let this, God, be a summer of destiny for this church, for people's lives, that they could see your supernatural work in their lives and in the things that they do and in the things that they say, so that the world around them can change. I pray this for every single one of us in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You still love me?